He's our voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Welcome, Brown, Dr. Brown. I should say welcome back, Dr. Brown, if I could speak correctly. How are you? Welcome, Brown, Dr. Back. How are you?
Good. How are you, Melissa?
You got what I was saying. I felt a little
Yoda
there.
I was there.
Hello, Dr. Brown. Welcome, you are. How are you? No. Oh, my God. That's terrible. I just ignore that I just said that. I've never heard of COVID toes. It was brought to my attention, actually, earlier this week by a colleague of mine who just experienced COVID and is currently going through what is called COVID toes. Has this been around the whole time? I've never heard of this.
It has.
Why didn't you tell me about this, Dr. Brown? No, I've never heard of this.
We're going to have to roll the tape.
Is this our first fight?
We have talked about COVID toe.
No.
Yes.
No, I don't believe it because I've never heard of no COVID toes.
I've even made reference to COVID toe in the past.
Was I not listening then? This really is our first couple's fight. I think that's what's happening right now.
There you go. No, yeah, we have discussed. Now, listen, we haven't talked about in details. But
okay.
we did mention that there was variant, especially in the beginning, we were seeing COVID toe. I actually like to call it COVID toe, but it's COVID toes. It does affect multiple toes. So
no, I feel like this is one of those things.
Long.
No, I feel like, Dr. Brown, this is one of those things where you watch medication commercials and at the end it's like, you're gonna have this. So I feel like maybe you might have said it along with the 700 things you could get with COVID and I just might have missed it.
And that's probably where it was because
okay,
we did talk about it would be like, you know, we're continuing to see lots of different things, including we see COVID toe.
You're like, COVID toe.
And it comes, listen, it's interesting because these things do come back, like as in the comments about them.
You're experiencing it again.
Occur, yes. Yeah,
that's
and they
weird.
Probably haven't, you know, interesting, it probably hasn't gone away because it has occurred throughout. But again, I think everything else that was going on, it wasn't necessarily the focus. I mean, obviously, we weren't worried about COVID toe when, you know, in March of 2020 when people were on the ventilator.
Were dying, right.
Dying,
absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. Now, okay, so then what is COVID toe since we've
so,
got it here?
COVID toe is a rash. That occurs on the toes. It's a red, sometimes itchy, sometimes has a little bit of pus around it, and it occurs usually on multiple toes. And it's interesting because the exact reason for why people get it isn't clear. But I can make an educated guess.
I love educated guesses, please.
I know you do. So The thing about COVID, and we know COVID is a virus that activates our immune system. And when you activate your immune system, in particular, when you overactivate your immune system, you get a lot of these little guys that are floating around called immunoglobulins, right? So these little things that fight off infections. With COVID, we get a lot of that. And sometimes it's difficult for our body to clear them. In particular, our kidneys can't clear them as well, or our body can't dissolve them as fast. And what happens is these little guys will go to our distal extremities, with our toes being sort of the furthest part from, you know, the furthest distance from our heart.
Yeah.
They'll end up getting trapped there. And as they get trapped there, they cause redness, inflammation, and purulence, or even irritation. So the body doesn't like to have extra antibodies in different areas. So there might be even a bigger response to those areas. And that's probably what it is. So we would consider that sort of an, it looks, and again, I've seen pictures of these, it looks like an immune response.
Interesting. Now, can you get this immune response on other parts of your body, like your calves? Like, does it have to go down to your toes? Or have we also seen something similar to parts of your leg or even your arms or anything like that?
It's definitely possible, and there has been patches of rashes that I've seen in the thigh, the legs, hands. It's just not as common. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, it has to do with age groups. Sometimes they see the rashes in children, and then comorbidities. So people who have certain diseases are going to be more likely. So I would say the two diseases that, unfortunately, diabetics are usually one who's going to be, if there's going to be an immune response or there's going to be poor flow in a certain area, then unfortunately our diabetic friends are ones that will get it. The other ones are going to be people who have probably kidney disease. because that's the way that you sort of help filter out
a
lot of this stuff.
Sure.
So you just need to be So you just need to be careful on that aspect. But yeah, I mean, you could probably just get around. It is self-limiting, so that means it goes away on its own.
How long does it last, though?
It could last for it sounds like it doesn't last very long.
Okay.
Again, it's not a major complication, so you don't hear that much
about
it.
It just sounds uncomfortable, though.
But yeah, it's a patchy, itchy rash around your toes.
Right. I have eczema, so I'm used to that, but not around my toes. That sounds terrible.
So it could be probably averages 8 days.
Ugh. All right.
But
fine.
2 to 12 is sort of what it's looking like.
So you brought up a good point actually earlier in this, and we have Dr. Fred Brown, of course, back with us from Griffin Health. He's our infectious disease expert on the show. We're talking about COVID toes, but it did seem like, Dr. Brown, if this really was something you mentioned back in March of 2020, I don't remember. I don't remember you bringing it up. But if this was really one of those original ones, I'm just poking fun. But if this was really one of those original ones, the losing your sense of smell and taste, that was another one of those original kind of weird, crazy body reactions to COVID. It felt like, though, for about 2 years, though, you didn't really hear about that. That wasn't really something. Now, since the fall, I've had plenty of colleagues here who have gotten COVID in the last 6 months. And they've all lost their sense of smell and taste. And I'm like, that's weird, because I feel like that wasn't really a symptom anymore for 2021 to 22. Didn't really feel like I heard about that much. But this go around, this fall, I would say, it kind of came back around. So are we seeing that sort of the original strain kind of masking itself once again? Because I find that really interesting.
It is interesting, and we've seen sort of variations throughout our conversations for the last several years. We do know that it comes in different clinical presentations, so it can present. We kind of knew the original one where it came in. It was really a respiratory tract infection, people felt relatively well but couldn't breathe, and then all of a sudden it just got really bad. That was kind of the way it started. And then you ended up getting sort of these variations of loss of taste and smell. That was an interesting finding, pharyngitis, sore throat, cough. Mm. Cough's been relatively common. There has been strains that have, and let me explain strains also, but there's been some strain variants that have also been predominantly gastrointestinal.
You're fine. I don't even ask me to repeat that because I have no idea what you know.
There you go. So GI bugs.
Okay, there you go. I could say that.
GI symptoms.
Yeah.
So it's been sort of this mix of what we've been seeing. Now, just so we're clear, it's still the same virus.
Right.
It's still coronavirus. It's still SARS-CoV-2. That's what it is. So it is that virus. That virus has not changed, and there's certain core principles of what that virus is going to do. Mm-hmm. It's going to continue to do that. Now, as it mutates and you get these different variations and different connections, those connections from the virus to connect to our bodies so it can actually invade our bodies is going to connect to different areas, and it'll try to evade different areas that it's tried before because now it's resistant.
Okay.
So that's why you end up having sort of these different symptoms. So if it can't get in this cell or this receptor, it's going to go into a different receptor.
Interesting.
It hasn't changed. It just happens to now instead of maybe focused more on, the GI side of it, now it's more focused on the nasopharyngeal. So that's why you lose, your taste and your smell.
Got it.
So
huh.
These are just variants, and these are just how the virus will actually present itself. It hasn't changed that much that it's now it's back to its original.
Right.
It's still the current variant that's there. It just happens that this variant likes to, and again, not going too much into the science, but likes to attack certain very specific cells in our body.
Right, and it feels like if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So we're going to go attack the nose and the
that's right.
Tongue,
and then
we're
gonna, and then
stuff.
You're going to end up having those symptoms associated with it, which again, don't explain to me why. I can't explain why people lose their taste and smell, but it's.
You're just like, listen, I'm the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you the facts.
That one I'm not, and I can't.
So weird.
Again, and that's actually an early sign. So that's when the virus goes in, and again, it probably has to do with, you know, what receptors it actually is attaching to start replicating.
That was the worst when I had that. That was when I had the original strain of COVID, and not being able to taste was just, oh my, it was like being in an alternate reality. It's horrible. We've got Dr. Brown here for just a couple more minutes. We were talking about COVID before. I don't know if we're going to get to measles just yet, so we'll see how much time we have. Apparently, a study that was published in the journal BMJ, Nutrition Prevention and Health, it showed that vegans are less likely to get COVID-19. Why? What? So do I need to change the way I live my life? Because I think
it.
I might, right?
This is great. I will tell you that I support a vegan diet.
I do, sure.
I think it's great, you know.
I'm not good at it, but I support it.
I can tell you that, you know, I've through my life have been vegetarian, and pescatarian is very common in New England, right?
Where you're, yeah, sure.
Where you eat fish, and that's the only protein.
Right.
So it's nice to hear. My wife's a vegetarian. So interesting enough. So I was able on break to look at this study again, and you know, yeah, it's definitely interesting. The problem is that so let's talk about the logic of it.
Yeah,
and
can
why,
we? Let's
why
do
does
that.
This,
let's
why does
that.
This make sense? Because
right.
The study itself is sort of it's a tough study to do.
Yeah.
So the logic of it is that there is quite a bit of evidence, and again, it's really hard to control the evidence, but there's quite a bit of evidence that meat-based diets and dairy do increase inflammation in the body.
Oh, yes, we know that.
Definitely, you know, and I don't think that's and I will tell you that most Western worlds have actually decreased the amount of meat that they eat.
Mm-hmm.
So it is actually reduced, and a lot of people I mean, including myself, are what we'd call flexitarians. So have a tendency to be focused on one area and not really a lot. So a lot of people have a tendency to focus more on a plant-based or a vegetarian type diet than a true meat and potatoes, like you probably would think about, and like my grandfather in the 1940s and 50s. So I think that's there is a lot of evidence that demonstrates that, you know, inflammation can be associated with these. There's also, because it's an animal product, animal products will have certain types of chemicals in it. Again, no matter what you do, there's going to be certain types of chemicals that can cause increases of similar chemicals in a human body. I guess that's sort of the best way to do it. But I guess if you want to put it as a general term, it does. There has been enough to show that there is increased inflammation when you have a meat and a dairy.
But why would inflammation add to your chances of getting COVID-19?
So if you have increased amount of inflammation, it may be that you're not getting it, but actually getting it worse.
Oh, okay.
So that's probably what it is.
All right.
Because, again, that goes back into the study.
Right.
And the study, even though BMJ is obviously a good journal and they've been able to do it, it's still an observational study. And to basically manage everyone with their variations of a vegetarian diet gets really tricky. So overall, this observational study has demonstrated that there is an increase, probably symptoms and illness associated with COVID with those who would deem themselves meat eaters, as opposed to those who would deem themselves as vegetarians. But vegetarians can be, you know, lacto-ovo, they can be vegans.
Right.
I mean, there's all different types of vegan. I mean, you could be a vegan and eat Oreo cookies your entire...
Right, exactly.
every day because they're vegan. I mean, they're full of chemicals, but I mean...
But hey, you know,
they're delicious
and
they're vegan,
dairy.
You know.
Right,
so,
right.
So,
interesting.
So again, you have to look at that. And again, I think, me personally, I think having a, you know, if you do eat meat, that having a reduced meat diet is probably always the best.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we've had enough nutrition that's actually demonstrated that balancing your diet is probably the best, and reducing meats and making sure reducing processed food, and then having fresh vegetables that are clean. Clean vegetables and having those as a regular, you know, regular servings and with each meal really makes the most sense to balance out a human diet.
Huh. Well, definitely a headline when you hear that vegans have a better chance of getting over COVID. All right.
It's a great headline. I love it.
That's why we've got to dive deep into the headline. Exactly. But we got to go
40% less likely to get COVID.
That's a big number.
Actually, the article I pulled up is, but some experts skeptical.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they speculate that. Yeah, exactly. So who really knows? Interesting stuff. Well, Dr. Brown, thank you so much. And we are going to have to talk about measles outbreaks the next time you come on. So get ready for that.
Very good.
All right.
Sounds good.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Melissa.